Well, welcome to another episode of Shypedia. Today, I have in a studio with me a young lady. Her name is Reese Davis. She's the CEO and artistic director of Praise Productions. And right now, she has a production going on. It's called Revival, The Answer. Welcome to the show, Reese.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So tell us about Revival, The Answer. What is this production about?
So my organization, Praise Productions, we're a 501c3 community-based organization. We have these big theatrical productions every year. And so this is our annual production that we put on. On even years, we do our youth and adults together. Odd years, we do two separate productions. So I'm really excited about this one because we have over 60 participants, youth and adults. Our shows are very different. It's not dance concert, but it's not a musical. I like to call it theatrical production. Okay. So it infuses heavy dance, live music. We have a band, videography, singing, spoken word, you name it, we have it. And with this show, Revival, we talk about the highs and the lows of the everyday human experience and what we go through as we journey through life. So I feel like it's something that everyone can connect to, can tap into, and really leave inspired and uplifted.
Wow, and I see here on the flyer, it says Praise Productions. It takes the audience on a journey through the human experience, like you just said, but it's divided into three stages.
Yes.
So you have the death, the burial, and resurrection. And I thought that was pretty interesting because you didn't start with the birth.
No.
Please explain.
It's actually really funny because when we picked these dates, I was trying to have our show in April. Just so happened that we're an arts partner of the Logan Center. And so we end up having to do our show in March. And when I looked at the dates, it was Palm Sunday weekend. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's different, you know. And so I was thinking about, okay, how do I divide up this content so it makes sense? Because I'm really big with storytelling. And so the audience can really connect to what we present to them. And I just came up with the idea of death, burial, resurrection. It was kind of a play on, obviously, Christian values as far as death, burial, resurrection of Christ, with it being around that Palm Sunday weekend. And then also, I feel like when I think about what we go through as adults, I mean, as humans, we go through those stages and processes. So when I said death, it's in the sense of things that we need to die to and things that are slowly killing us. So whether that's a divorce you experience, abuse that you experience as adolescents, those things are slowly killing us inside that we haven't yet dealt with, that we need to draw that attention to. So it's those things that you're saying, well, why does that make me feel that way? Or why am I reacting in this way? And then we go into burial, but burial not in the sense of dying, but don't mistake my grave for a cocoon. So those periods of in our lives where we are put in isolation, where we have to isolate ourselves from the outside world and other people to do that needed reflective work, internal work that takes us to the next set, which is resurrection revival. And that's us entering that stage of our lives, going to that next level of our lives, finding our purpose, what it is that we were put on this earth to do, and really diving deep into having a successful and happy, joyous life.
Mm-hmm. And I meant to mention this earlier. I like to give a definition of certain words so people can have a clear meaning of it. Just to clarify a little bit, okay. A revival is an improvement in the condition or strength of something. Okay. Also, it is an instance of something becoming popular, active, or important again, or a new production of an old play or similar work. But this is like a rebirth.
Exactly. I feel like it was so funny. All those definitions I have in my journal that I keep in my purse. So when I do these shows, I keep a journal because I'm constantly getting inspiration and I have those three definitions. And I feel like we actually tap into all of them. When we're talking about the human experience, I feel like we're always evolving in our lives. And we go, like I said, we go through that in our stages and processing. So even though we go through death, burial, and resurrection, we do that in say one level. And then once you fulfill that capacity on that level, guess what? You go through that same process, death, burial, and resurrection on the level two.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you fulfill that and you expand your capacity there, then you go through it all over in the, on the next level. So we're always evolving and changing and growing, and as we should as humans.
Different phases.
Exactly, different phases. And so that's why, like, you know, I think that was so perfect, you know, when I'm thinking about us evolving, it's just even as a person, how do I make myself better? What's the next, you know, just with those definitions you were saying, mm-hmm. where is that next level going in my life?
Mm-hmm. Is it just all female?
No, we have male and female. Okay. We're heavy female. Our adult company is a fully female dance company of women of color.
Okay.
And obviously in the arts, you always are a little more heavy female.
Uh-huh.
But of course, our band is incorporates males. So there's our singers and our musical director. So it's women and men, heavy women, though.
And you guys are into your seventh year.
Yes.
Wow. That's good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Obviously, this has been a hit. This whole production has been a hit, because for you to be able to make it for a seventh year, you know, you guys are doing big things. But as I read through it, I was just so taken back, because just to touch on just life itself and to bring it into an artistic form, how do you bring this into dance? How do you bring these three stages, these three topics, death, burial, and resurrection? Is it like a praise form or?
Well, I feel like I love the quote that from Nina Simone, when she says that art should reflect the times. So whenever I am creating these shows, I try to be honest and truthful to who I am. So they're always a piece of me. And I went through this personally, and I found out by telling my personal story of revival, other people are saying, oh yeah, I experienced that. Or I find myself, I'm there, I'm in death, or I'm in burial right now, or I'm experiencing the peaks and the highs of revival. And I felt like it was just a moment of being honest, being opened, being truthful to who I am, laying down my guards and saying, yeah, you know, I have these flaws and this is what I had to go through. And yeah, you know, I'm at my seventh year as, you know, CEO of an organization. I started back when I was 25, but guess what? That was a process and a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And by me being so open and willing to share those experiences through the arts, and I use the arts in order to do so because I'm an artist, you know, so I tell my story through dance or I tell my story through music. I felt like I'm seeing that people are able to connect with that storyline. And I like to use various different facets of arts, although I'm a professional dancer, I like to use videography and spoken word. I write and live music, because I feel like sometimes people get bored. I know I'm one of those. Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, I don't want to just see dance. I don't want to just hear music. So it's one of those things that it keeps the audience captivated. So you're going to be captivated through the storyline, but also you're going to get entertained, because you're not going to, you know, in one scene, the story's told through dance, and the next scene, the story's told through visual arts, you know, so you're constantly getting that stimuli thrown at you. And so I feel like that's what makes our shows so impactful, because they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps the audience on the edge of their seats, because they don't know what's coming next.
Wow. Wow, that whole experience, I would love to go see that myself.
Well, I got you some tickets, girl.
For the first year, okay? You know, so coming out and doing this show and having to open up about things that happened in your past, maybe, how did you feel about that? Were you a little hesitant at first to be transparent?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, but I feel like as an artist, you have to be. You know, the cliche, real recognizes real. You know, what leaves the heart reaches the heart. But it's very much so true. So I felt like if I'm guarded, then my audience is going to be guarded.
And not just your audience, but there's people who need it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just only about just from a entertainment perspective, mm-hmm. but you have people that need this story.
Exactly. I feel like preachers preach from a pulpit, mm-hmm. you know, and they have their Bibles. My art is my ministry.
Hello.
And so I use the arts, and I'm getting teary-eyed even now talking about it, to uplift and heal and inspire people. And I know that that is my purpose. that is my resurrection revival. That is where my happy comes from. That's where my passion comes from. That's where my fuel comes from. And it's by pouring into others, by using this gift and this talent that God has blessed me with. And so, you know, I always say to my kids, the kids I teach and the adults, I'm like, it really has nothing to do with a plie or a tendu or a turn. That's just what brought you through these doors. But it's what we're pouring into you, that messaging and that positivity and that encouragement. That's why you're here. We just use dance is just the medium to get you here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I think that all of us have a skill and a purpose, and we all go through something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have to share our stories in order to get past it. I feel you have to be open.
Exactly.
And use the gift that God gave you and put it out there for others to encourage and to inspire and let them know that it's not just you.
Exactly. And that's the beautiful part about it. As you're open, you realize that your experiences are shared experiences from other people. You know, it might have been in a different light, but we all go through some very similar things in this journey.
Yes.
And if we would just like be open and honest about it, oh my gosh, a lot of the rifts and the turmoil that we see in society today wouldn't happen, because we would see how similar we are.
We are all going through something.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. You know, what more do you want to tell us about the revival?
Well, we're also super excited to have Harmony Health Plan back on board. This is our presenting sponsor. This is the second year that we have been a community partner with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited to have them on board to co-present this particular production. They are obviously into health, and I feel like we have to, when we're dealing with these issues, mental health is one of those things. Physical health is are one of those things. So we're so excited to have them on board, because they have been such a huge backbone for our company, not just with helping us to produce these shows and bring it to the masses, but really sharing the purpose and the passion of helping others and encouraging others. We do it through the arts, they do it through health. But, you know, when we can share our resources like we just talked about and come together, is a powerful impact we can have.
Yes, it is.
And we're super excited for our Saturday night show on March 24th. PPI and our co-sponsor, Harmony Health Plan, will be honoring five wonderful, extraordinary individuals in our Chicagoland community who are doing impactful things in our community and reviving their community. We have Monica Houseup of Little Black Pearl, who's getting our Arts and Culture Award. Miguel Torres, who's a part of Harmony Health Plan, getting our Health and Science. Maidi Singstack Rice, who's getting who's over the Chicago Defender Charities, who's getting our Community Service Award. Tamara L. Holmes, who's receiving it for education. And of course, you know, he's no stranger to our Chicagoland community, Reverend Clay Evans, the founder of Fellowship, who's getting our award in Faith and Community. So we really wanted to highlight people who are already out there in the trenches, reviving people in our communities and making a powerful and impactful difference in the lives of others.
So I'm reading here, distorted as I got this from your Facebook.
I see. I'm looking over there.
Stalking you, girlfriend. Distorted aspirations breed low expectations, and how we desire more for our young girls. When twerking cheeks is the fame we seek, and money is not invested but thrown, raining down on seeds aren't fertilized in wisdom, history, and self-respect. Know that your soul will be tested as your children are neglected, and you will have to answer to the sins you commit. That's some real poetry right there.
Thank you.
I feel like doing a freestyle.
I get so shy when I write. I do. I get really shy.
I loved it. I love this, because this is so inspiring for young girls. I have a daughter. And, you know, the way that entertainment and in the industry is, the music, the things that's being brainwashed into our girls,
right?
It's unfortunate.
Right.
You know, I can't say that I'm necessarily a millennial. I don't want to say my age. Am I a millennial? I'm not a millennial. No, but, you know, when I grew up, you know, was a lot different. I had better role models. I mean, the music was different. We had music that may have been a little inappropriate, but we didn't understand. Nowadays, the music is, you know, it's not, nothing's hidden. It's no secret. Mm-hmm. Nothing is a secret. So when I read this, this is what I see, you know, a stripper, you know, that's so common now. Or let's see, the twerking and, you know, just the things that we're planning into our children.
Exactly.
And I definitely think that productions like this and you bringing on the kids, it helps them in so many ways. Number one, we're keeping them off the streets.
And I was about to say, one of the things we love to do within Praise Productions, I hate recitals. I've been a dancer, like, you know, half my life, but I cannot stand recitals. But we give them professional experiences in it. Exposure. So instead of doing these recitals every year, like a traditional studio and arts organization, we do these massive professional productions. So our youth get to expose their gifts and their talents and practice them on a professional stage as a professional artist. So we are very much so grooming pre-professionals into the professional world, which gives them the exposure which our babies need in our mm-hmm. communities to see yes. this is what it looks like.
Yes.
So not only am I going to see it on TV, but I'm going to practice it too. That night on March 23rd and 24th, I am a professional dancer. Mm. I am a professional artist. The audience is going to see me as that, and I'm going to see me as that. And that is important. That's what we need to do for our young people.
That's going to make them hungry for more.
Heck yeah.
And it helps them with their esteem.
Yeah.
Also, they can be from a household where mom just may not be the best role model for them. But I definitely think when kids get off into stuff like this, this helps change their future.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. Now, I see that, you know, how many years again, Reese, have you been doing dancing?
7 with Praise Productions, and I've been dancing since I was about 19. I actually started late compared to most dancers. I was a late arrival.
But you did it, though. I mean, not professionally. I mean, you didn't get into it like that, but you were doing it most of your life, though, anyhow,
exactly.
Right?
Like dance yeah. teams and different things like that,
okay.
training a little bit later.
And I see that we have something in common. We talked about this before we started the show, that both of us are from Indiana.
Yes, Hoosiers.
We just a hop, skip, and a jump away. And I see that, let's see, some of your who are some of your mentors, some of the people that help you get to where you are now?
I studied under Dion Champion, who actually has her own studio in Gary, Indiana. Really taught me as far as the aesthetics when in modern African dance, who I appreciate and love. Angela Grayson, I worked for her when I was in undergrad. She gave me my first experience as a nonprofit. It was in education, but I was able to get the hands-on experience in the nonprofit world that I now use for PPI. Kim Tyler from Endura Productions, who gave me the experience and exposures to produce shows like I'm doing now. I didn't go to school for this. My degrees are in education. And last but not least, my dance dad, Joe Hall, who I danced with his company for over 3 years, gave me the professional experience in dance. So I have a lot of people to thank. I have a lot of people who brought me to this point and who still continue to pour into my life. And I think that's why I make sure that I do my due diligence with other young people, because I had people who saw things in me even when I was a hot mess and, you know, didn't know what I was doing, but took that patience. And I think by seeing that, it's my time to now sow those seeds into other people's ground, so that when they get older, they'll do the same thing, and that's how we keep it going.
Oh, amen to that. Oh my gosh. So what would be your advice to the talent, young talent out there? How would you suggest to manifest on your dreams?
Keep your focus and know your priorities. I think so many times we get distracted and discouraged. And so if you stay with that focus, like I always knew I wanted to start my own organization. So even when I was an undergrad, I said, I'm going to teach, you know, that's going to be my degree, my academic degree. I can always fall back on if something happens, but I'm only going to do it for 5 years. Because after 5 years, I'm going to start my own arts organization. And I said that in undergrad, I said that while I taught. And what was happening, I was speaking it into existence.
Yes.
Constantly. So when that fifth year came, people were like, well, did you save your money? Nope. What are you going to do? I don't know. But I already had a plan and I had a focus and I had a determination. And 7 years later, walking away from my career in teaching, I never had to go back. Why? Because I continued to speak that into my life. I continued to prioritize when distractions came. My friends wanted to go out. No, I can't do that. I'm starting my own business. Well, can you do this? Nope. You know, so staying focused, I think, is the main thing, because it's so easy to get discouraged on this journey because things are going to hit you. Things are not always going to go as planned, but you have to have that connection with God, you know, higher being, because you can't do it by yourself. So whatever you believe in, that's fine. But my thing is, you're going to need help at some point that's going to go beyond yourself. And, you know, mine is God. So when those times happen, I pray, I fast, I have that faith. And that's the thing that kind of fuels me behind my passion, because sometimes, passion is going to feed you and bleed you. So even within your passion, you're going to have hard times. So you're going to have to know, how do I feed myself when I don't have the tools, I don't have the resources for myself? And that's when you have to go beyond yourself to ask for help. And every single time I've asked for help, I've always gotten it.
What a testimony. There's always going to be naysayers.
Oh, child. Yes.
You know, and so to leave your job from being a teacher and not really having, you know, more, you know, the money, of course, that's always number one. Having all the resources, a lot of people would say, you know, we hear this all the time. Well, I wouldn't leave a job without having a job. How are you going to do this? This is not possible. You can't do this. You know, how did you shoot those people down? Because we know that's just way too common when you're trying to do something like this, when you step out on faith. What do you say to those naysayers?
I don't say anything. I keep it moving.
Okay, you can't, good answer.
You can't, you know, my thing is, you can't even feed that attention. Because if not, how am I going to explain my dream to some, or how, let me say this, how am I going to explain my vision to someone who doesn't even have a dream? They're not going to understand it. They don't even have the capacity to even wrap their brains around it. So you're sit there and talking to your blue in the face, and they'll still be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So sometimes you got to have that swerve spirit and just be like, okay, well, you know, I'll leave you where you are, but this is where I'm going. So, you know, that's the beauty of having vision. You can see it before it actually manifests in reality. That's vision. So, yeah, they can't see it because they don't have the vision. Yeah. But with my vision, I'm already seeing 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Now, not only am I seeing it, but I'm speaking it. So it has to happen. Mm. It has to happen. You know, I'm putting that out in the atmosphere. I'm putting that out in my future. I'm speaking that into existence. So, yeah, you can't get tied into those naysayers. Mm-hmm. But that's what they're supposed to do. They're doing their job. They're just, you know, you have to allow them to do their job, because those are the people who are pushing you forward.
That's what's making you stronger.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, do you have any stories as far as with some of the talent that you work with? Anyone who stood out in your eyes that you know you made some type of difference with?
Oh my gosh. It's funny because, you know what, although I'll tell my age, I'm 32, I'll be 33 this year, I've been teaching since I was 13.
What?
Yeah, my dad's a pastor. And so I started as like being over the praise dancers at my church, hence Praise Productions. So I've been teaching since 13. So it's hilarious because although I'm very young, I have students who are now like married with kids.
Wow.
Like, which is weird, you know, because I was like teaching when I was a little kid, bossing people around, right? But first of all, teaching, you're not always going to see your harvest so quickly, but like every now and again, I know I get little letters from my students, my kids. I call them my kids because like they're
they
very much
kids.
So, yeah, they are. So students sound so like formal, but I get a letter, one in particular, well, two this last season, telling me, like, thanking me for pouring into, because, you know, I'm fussing, I'm correcting. So sometimes you don't know if they're getting it. Mm-hmm. And so when they tell you that they got it, like, you were fussing at me, but I heard what you were saying. And even one who, like, it makes me teary eyed now, she's in college now, her first year in school. And she's just like, you're just more than a teacher. You're like a second mom to me. And
what's her name?
Shania, that's my baby. That, like, pulled at my heartstrings, because I look at them as my kids, mm-hmm. and this see that they understood and that received that love, you know, because I'm very hard on myself. I pray to be a better leader and a better, you know, servant to the people that I'm over, and to see that every now and again I'm getting it right, that means so much, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes you don't know if you're getting it right. You know, when you get those little letters and those things and you're like, wow, you know, I am making a difference. This you is are. What those long hours are for. This is why you sacrifice, because when I win, they win. Mm-hmm. And they need me to win. I have to be that example. You know, I can't give up. I can't quit. My babies are dependent on me to win and to succeed, so I can be that example as a strong Black woman in their community that goes out there and makes things happen. So, you know, those are the things that keep me fueled, because I know it's not about me. It's about all the people that God has blessed me to impact and to inspire and to encourage, so that they then can even do what I'm doing bigger and better, you know.
Wow, you sound like a mother.
Ah, and I'm not yet. Thank
you. Because that's what a mother does. A mother works hard and makes sure her kids are fed spiritually, mentally, physically. Everything around them is taken care of, and she sacrificed a lot. And I know that you're sacrificing a lot, and I know that your work isn't going into vain. And what I have learned with kids is that we may not think that they're listening. Mm-hmm. We may not think that they're watching, but they are.
Yeah, they are.
So we need more positive role models like you out there for our children to watch. And for those out there that's interested in possibly joining any of the productions in the future, how can they go about doing so?
We are year-round programming. So we have year-round programming. We have summer camp. We actually have our summer camp coming up the month of July, for ages 3 through 16, and we have a dance intensive for teens through adults. And we're also, with us being year-round programming, they can go ahead and register online for classes right after this show this week. So they can go to our website, www.praiseproductions, that's with a Z, P-R-A-I-Z-E, productions.com, praiseproductions.com.
Okay, and as far as funding is concerned, are you open to sponsors or?
Yes. We're a tuition-based program, but we keep our classes very affordable. My youth company, who trains 3 times a week, take over 6 classes a week. So you multiply that. They pay like $6 a class. So we try to make it affordable. We also offer scholarships, and we're a not-for-profit. So we're always welcoming sponsors for our kids, because a lot of our kids come from these impoverished neighborhoods where they can't afford it. And even when with keeping our prices economical, you know, I don't ever want a parent to have to choose between the survive, you know, paying bills and keeping their kids in positive programming.
Right.
That shouldn't be a choice.
Yes.
You should be able to do both, you know, mm-hmm. and our communities should stand behind those parents so that they can do both. Because if we pour into our future, we're pouring into our kids, we're pouring into our future. So yes, you can go to our website to make that donation at praiseproductions.com. Like I said, we are so thankful for the, you know, our presenting sponsor, Harmony Health Plan. We welcome other sponsors and people to even just regular people who just want to donate and say, hey, I would like to sponsor a kid's camp tuition. It's always appreciative. And because we're really trying to offer professional arts education at affordable rates.
All right. Where's the location?
Our home based location is on 70th and King Drive, 7000 South King. We also have satellite programs throughout the city and Chicago Public Schools, too. So if you are a principal or you're over an organization, you would like to supplement it with arts education, we do come in to outsource and bring in arts education where it's not already offered.
Okay. Now, revival, the answer. We don't want to miss it.
No.
Tickets are going fast,
they
I hear.
Are. Yes. Get your tickets now.
There's only 2 days.
March 23rd, March 24th at the Logan Center in Hyde Park. Get your tickets, praiseproductions.com. You do not want to miss this show.
And the website for the tickets once again.
Praise Productions, P-R-A-I-Z-E, productions.com.
We want to get that through their skulls. And, and the address for the Logan Center for the Arts is 915 East 60th Street. That's in the Hyde Park area.
Yes, part of University of Chicago, our arts partner.
All right. Well, Miss Reese, thank you so much for sitting down with us here at Chi-pedia at WGN Plus. And we'll definitely be making sure that the house is packed. It's a full house. And
thank
every
you.
Ticket will be sold out that day.
Thank you. I claim it, too. Thank you so much for having us.